I'm very happy now to welcome Karina Holikim. She is a base jumper and free skier. She will be speaking tomorrow night, Wednesday, October 27th at 7 o'clock at the Armory for the Arts here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So for those of our listeners who have never heard of these terms, what is base jumping and what is free skiing?
Well, base jumping, the acronym BASE, it stands for Building, Antenna, Span, and Earth. And it includes jumping off of all those objects with a parachute on your back. And in comparison with a normal skydive, we only have one parachute, so we have no reserve in case of emergency. And free skiing is actually just skiing out of bounds off of mountainsides and jump off little cliffs, and you're basically finding your own line down the mountainside. And I just happen to love both of them.
And both incredibly dangerous things. I was wondering what it was like to start doing those kinds of things, like your first jump off of a high place or a cliff, or your first run down, or your first few runs down a mountain that was uncharted. What was it like?
Well, I mean, obviously these sports can be really dangerous if you're not careful, but we do try to make them as safe as possible. And, you know, when we get into these sports, we do it step by step in order to minimize the risk, obviously. But I remember the first time that I jumped off of a bridge. A bridge is normally safer to jump off than an actual cliff because you can open in any kind of direction and don't have the wall behind you. But I remember being extremely scared about it, and my legs or my body wasn't really listening to what my mind was telling it to do, and my legs were just trembling and shivering the entire time. But the fact was that I was actually more scared of the dark at that time than I was of the actual base jump. We had to do it in the middle of the night. It was kind of an ironic way to start it. But you know, I think in the beginning when you start doing these sports, you don't really realize how dangerous it is, because you have this kind of a tunnel vision, so you only see very limited. You focus on the little things that you have to focus on, and you do them, and you go through with it, and then I think afterwards is when you start to realize what you actually did and how beautiful and amazing it was. And I think when we're out there jumping or skiing, we don't focus on how dangerous this is. We try to focus on the beautiful aspects of it and the being able to jump off and fall at 180 kilometers per hour, and the visuals that you have when you do these things, just kind of a phenomenal thing.
Does it feel like you're flying?
Well, for me, I mean, I always dreamt about flying. I always wanted to be like the birds when I was a little girl, you know. I loved the aspects of being able to play in the sky and play with the clouds and to be untouched by everything. So for me, base jumping was the closest feeling, the closest thing I could get to feeling like a bird. And, you know, when we're flying our wingsuits a meter and a half or three feet away from the wall, and we can totally control it and fly with the nature, it definitely makes us feel like we're little birds.
What were some of your favorite base jumps?
You know, I love all kinds of different base jumps. I love it when you go into the city and jump off of high-rise buildings. But I also love it when you go into the wilderness and up top of high mountains. You know, some mountains you wake up in the middle of the night and you hike up early in the morning, still almost dark. You get up top of the mountain when the sun is just rising and you have this beautiful view overlooking the valley, and it's just this incredible feeling. You have this little jiggerish feeling in your body because you know that you're going to jump off this mountain, and it's very beautiful. And sometimes, you know, the atmosphere and the trip and the hike out there and everything is so great. And the base jump in itself, it almost just feels like a bonus on top of it.
Right.
It's really about a nature experience, and about finding beautiful places, no matter where it is.
Now, when you jump off of high buildings, part of the deal with that is sometimes you have to actually fool the security in that building so that they don't know that you're about to jump off of it. Is that true? Did I understand that correctly?
Yes, I guess you did. We're on this little Mission Impossible. We feel like we're on a James Bond mission where we have to fool the security guards in order to get up top. And you know, the thing is that base jumping in itself is not really illegal a lot of times, but you're not allowed to be on top of that building, and not allowed to. So you're trespassing when you do that, which is the same for you and for me. It doesn't matter if I won't choose to jump off it. But it's, you know, we try to, whenever we want to do stuff that's illegal, we don't really want that to be seen or to be known. So we try to, if we want to jump off of a building, we do it when people can't see us, and we try to get in and out and away without being noticed. And that kind of, you know, we don't want to create or too much drama and attract too much attention when we do that, because that's not the reason why we're doing this, because we love it and it makes us feel like we're alive and we just love the feeling of it.
Now, in base jumping, as you said before, you only use one parachute. Why is that?
Well, we only use one, basically because when we pull our parachute, we're very close to the ground. So we wouldn't have time to open a reserve. You need a little bit of an altitude in order to open a reserve parachute. And we basically don't have that time. So also, you know, if you have one chute to deal with, you don't have to spend extra seconds wondering if you should open your reserve or not. You just have to deal with what you have. Sometimes it just makes it easier. And also the way we pack our parachutes, they are basically packed like a reserve parachute that they use in skydiving. So this is our reserve.
So in August 2006, you were actually somebody was filming a kind of a biographical film about you. You were on what is considered one of the easiest jumps ever with some friends, and it was just joyous and wonderful. And your chute didn't open, and you hit the ground very, very hard.
Yes, I did. I was at this World Cup in paragliding, and I was there just to make a show and fly our wingsuit off of an airplane, actually, and it was, you know, a routine jump. It was just about having fun with my friends and playing in the air and flying. And I had a malfunction in my parachute, and I landed on the ground, or hit the ground, with more than 100 kilometers per hour, and I impacted a huge rock when I landed on the ground, and it crushed everything that I had from my hips and down. So I had about 25 fractures in both my legs, and I was sentenced to a life in a wheelchair.
And how did you recover? What happened in the early days and in the months and years that followed?
Well, in the beginning, it was a really tough challenge because I got numerous infections in my leg due to the open fractures. And I was in and out of hospital doing surgeries, and they were ongoing surgeries for months and months. And, I was bedridden for probably 4 months. I had to stay in a wheelchair for about 9 months after that. And, you know, I lost all my energy and all my muscles and all my strength. And obviously when you're being told that you're never going to be able to walk again, it makes you really sad. So it was really hard to get back up and continue to fight when you didn't know whether it was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. But I had really good friends, and my family is great. And my friends from all over the world, they were supporting me all through that process. And little by little, you know, I could focus on it, making one step at a time, and I got better. And, you know, little by little, I started getting more energy, and I could move out of the wheelchair, and I could make little steps, and, you know, here I am now, 4 and a half years later, and I'm walking, I'm traveling, I'm skiing even.
You're skiing! I mean, after being told you couldn't walk and having 20 or more breaks in your legs and 20 surgeries, you skied this year.
Yes, I did. I skied last winter.
What was it like?
You know, it was all unreal. It was almost too good to be true. It was like, for me, it was this dream come true, you know. I always wanted to come back to skiing because skiing's been my life. It's what I've been doing ever since I was a little girl. And all my friends were skiing. You know, what was I going to do if I couldn't join them? So it became a very important goal, but it was one of those things that I was, you know, aiming for and hoping for, but I was kind of dreading at the same time because I didn't know whether my body was going to be able to support it. I didn't know if my legs would support it because they were very fragile. And the first day back on the hill, it was, it worked out great, you know, and I could ski all the way down the hill and it felt natural. It felt like, you know, this was what I was supposed to do. And I skied 4 runs that one day, and it was like everybody on the hill, they stopped and they came over. Then they were super excited to see me back on the hill. And a lot of people had been following my progress for the last 4 years, and they were just gaped that I could make it back. And it felt really good, and it was, yeah, like I said, too good to be true. I don't think I could walk for another couple of days after that because it was so painful, but I believe that some things are good for your mind and other things are good for your body, and this was definitely one of those first things, so it was definitely worth it for me.
What was the role of your mind in the process of recovery?
You know, I think it's very important to keep a positive mindset. I mean, it's very easy to lose faith and to lose your motivation to go on, and this is totally understandable. So in order to not do that, I try to focus on the little things that I could do every day instead of thinking about all the things that I couldn't do. You know, I could be in my wheelchair thinking and being sad about the fact that I couldn't ski, I couldn't join my friends, I couldn't lead the lifestyle that I used to do. And I could question the future, you know, what was going to happen in the future because I didn't know. But I decided that this wasn't going to give me any good energy. It wasn't going to take me anywhere. So I decided to focus on the fact that I could sit upright in my wheelchair through an entire meal that took maybe 15 minutes. Or, you know, I could sit outside in the snow in my wheelchair and get snowed on for half an hour and feel it. You know, and I had all these little positive things happening in my everyday. And so at the end of the day, my day felt like it was a good day. Although if you looked at it from the big perspective, I guess it wasn't really that great in the long run or bottom line. But I think, you know, if you manage to keep a positive mindset, it really helps on your healing process as well. Because give your body good energy, and your mood and your spirit is the most important thing when you're going to go out there and continue to train.
You mentioned a moment ago that it's important to not to lose faith. Faith in what?
Faith in yourself, most of all. Faith in the fact that you can do it and that you're capable of doing it. And faith that you are able to continue to fight and not give up. So for me, I mean, I'm mostly talking about faith in your own ability to do this, to pull it through, because I think that's very important. And if you want to have faith in something else as well, obviously I'm sure that would help as well, but for me that's the kind of faith that has helped me.
What are your limitations now, or what do you think they will be physically in the future? Will you be able to, I don't think you'll be probably base jumping again, will you?
I don't think I will ever be able to base jump again. You know, I've lost 12 centimeters of my femur, and my body is not as strong as it used to be. So, you know, basically if I have any kind of an impact on my legs today, then I will break again. And all I know is that I can't go through these last 4 years out of my life. Can't do that one more time. So I think I have to keep my legs on the ground this time. And, you know, I was fortunate because I'm still here.
Yeah.
I got a second chance. And, you know, I'm happy to be where I am today. I'm not willing to.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've talked about different kinds of fear, and there's the kind of fear that you worked with when you were doing base jumping, and that's different than the kind of fear you have after an accident like that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm fear that I have now, and when I get scared, it's a completely different fear than what I used to have before. The kind of fear that I had before, I liked it, I enjoyed it, I loved it, you know, and I thrived to go out there and get more of it because I loved that kind of sensation. And the kind of fear that I have today is a totally irrational fear. It's a fear that I can't control, and I think it's a fear that's based on the fact that I know that my body can't support certain things. And it's also a fear that's built on a muscle memory or a memory that's experienced on my body that just won't let go. And, you know, I think it's healthy to have that kind of fear today because it makes me stay on the ground and be more wise about what I do now so that I don't injure myself again.
What's it like? I mean, you're going around speaking in Santa Fe and all sorts of places and telling your story. What's it like for you to tell your story over and over again?
Well, I mean, I think the first time that I told my story, it was, it felt good in a way to start telling your story because you put it into words and it became kind of a treatment for myself. You know, you go through it when you're talking about it and when you're telling it. And then little by little, I started realizing how my story actually made an impact on other people and how they got inspired by my story and maybe motivated to never stop and to believe in themselves and to maybe also go out there and chase their dream. And for me, that's, you know, it's very important for me. And it's a great thing to be able to use my experiences and my story to inspire other people. If I'm capable of doing that, it makes it feel worthwhile to tell my story. So I feel lucky that I'm able to share it the way that I do now.
Yeah. And tell us about the film 20 Seconds of Joy.
Right. 20 Seconds of Joy is a film that's filmed by Jens Hoffmann. He's a German filmmaker. And actually, we started out five years before we finished. We were actually filming ongoing for 5 years. And he wanted to capture, you know, why a normal girl wanted to throw herself off of a 1,000-meter cliff. And so that's basically how it all started. And he filmed me. He followed me through my base jumping trips and my skiing and my family situation and friends and I think he thought that this was such an extreme sport and a very special kind of sport, and he wanted to see that it's normal people choosing to do that and not just daredevils being out there trying to kill themselves. And I guess throughout this process, obviously my accident happened, and he was very unsure if he wanted to continue to film after the accident, and it took him probably about 6 months before he called me up and he asked me if it would be okay for me if he came back and continued the project. And I said, well, of course. I mean, we started this and, you know, I want us to finish it. So he came back and we continued filming after that, and the result became 20 Seconds of Joy. Very strange to see it, but I'm also very happy to see the footage in 20 Seconds of Joy because it makes me happy seeing those moments and, you know, those trips where I was base jumping and skiing. And it makes me happy and feel like I can relive those moments. Very fortunate to actually have such good footage from those trips because those are all great memories. I'm happy that I could do it. Great. I'm very, very happy about that movie.
Karina Holikam is a base jumper and free skier, or I guess you'd say former base jumper, but still probably in your soul to some extent. She will be speaking at the Armory for the Arts tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 27th of October at 7 o'clock. It's a free event. Tickets can be downloaded from thenorthface.com/speaker series. There's also a VIP reception with Karina that starts at 6 o'clock at the Armory, and it's a benefit for the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute, and you can get tickets at the same place, thenorthface.com/speaker series. Thank you so much for being with us, Karina, and sharing your story.
Well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Thanks to Brian Highhill for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.